In our lesson this morning, there were some things that was brought out what a preacher is to be and how he is to be. And one of them that stood out to me was the passion. How could you convince people about any subject if you don't have compassion for it yourself? And I believe most of you know that I do have compassion. And the great thing about the compassion that I have for the Word of God, it is just that. It is the Word of God. And I will never be ashamed of the Word of God. I will say what He says, because that is what He wants us to know. And so this lesson that I will be bringing forth to you is one that it has meaning to me, and hopefully it has meaning to you, because it involves every last one of us here and wherever we go. And the title of this lesson is Encouraging Words. Now, I've told some of you about my history before, that growing up, I was not the most popular kid on the block. I had a few friends. But in all of us, including myself, wanted to hear encouraging words from someone, not only your mother or whatever. We wanted to hear encouraging words. And I never received what I consider encouraging words. So what did that do to me? It closed me down. It made me not want to care about anybody. Just go do what I had to do, and that was it. A few friends came along, things changed, but when I became a Christian and started seeing what God says a Christian must be, what a Christian must do, and one of the things He tells us, we must encourage one another. And I believe that, and I start doing that, start encouraging. But you know, everybody in the Lord's church, they don't do that. They don't encourage people in the church. But we're supposed to, every last one of us, like to hear encouraging words. For example, when we were dating, our person of affection wanted to hear certain words, such as, I love you, I care about you, you're pretty. All of these things they wanted to hear us say. And there's nothing wrong with the men wanting to hear these same things from them, that you care about them. And when you don't do it, it's something that stays back there, you don't say it. Like there is a, you could say it's a joke, but basically it went something like, the wife was not hearing these words that she wanted to hear, and she asked, well, don't you love me? And he said something like, I told you once. If I change, I'll tell you again. That's not what it's all about. We are to encourage parents with children. When they do things, they want to hear, that was good. And if you don't say nothing to your children, it will stay with them. And then possibly they won't do it to their children. So what we want our children to do now, let's instill it in them so when they grow up, they will do it to their family members. Ephesians 4:29 is one that we know. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. but only such as is good to build up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How many times have we said something that we regret? The interesting thing about us, once you say it, it's gone. It has an effect. You can never bring it back. You can say, I'm sorry, all you want. And the hearer or whatever says, I accept it. But back here, they remember what you said and how you said it. So, if you can't say something nice, be like everybody else. Don't say nothing. Just keep your mouth shut. But that's not the way it is for us Christians. A song in the songbook that I really love, because I'm a different kind of person. Because I see things, I believe, the way they should be, the way God wants us to be. And I see that we as human beings, we don't respond the way God wants us. We know the song, Angry Words. And I'm sure since I gave you that title, your head is going with words there in the song. But it warns us against harm and telling us what discouraging words can do. For example, the wrong word can destroy friendship. It's gone. It should not be that way in the church. Another thing we need to be aware of is the tongue. You know, if everybody didn't have a tongue, we couldn't hear what sometimes comes out of people's mouths. Sometimes it comes out of our mouth. It is a destructive instrument. And God says it is difficult to control. But it can be controlled. If you put Christ in your life, if you live according to Jesus, you can control the tongue. For example, starting in James 3, in verse 1, it's a scripture in which we all know it. He starts off and says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a wall of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produces figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. You know, everything in this life, it has the potential for goodness, and it has the potential for evil. And we've seen that. We see it every day of our lives. If an invention comes out, somebody is going to take it to the next stage for evil. And so, God gave to man the gift of speech, the ability to communicate the ideas that are in his mind. We should consider that as one of God's greatest gifts to man. But we also should be aware it's one of the most dangerous when it's misused. For example, rumors. All you got to do if you want to hurt somebody is to start a vicious rumor. That's all you got to do. Just start the rumor. Because the first person you tell, when they tell it to the next person, it gets more vicious and more vicious and more vicious and more vicious. It would be so nice if God had input into us a system to where if we lied, we'd get a shock. Needless to say, we wouldn't lie. After we learn, that is what is happening. The tongue can be so good when it is used properly. In Proverbs 12:18, we're told this: there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. We need to recognize the need for speaking good. You know, it is easy if you are focused on Jesus to say the right things. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am quick. When somebody says something, I have something, but I use caution. Instead of just, I use caution because I understand the wrong thing will cause great harm. God should be our example. And he tells us in James 3, starting with 9, is what we just read earlier, but it's to reinforce us. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Each one of us can do great things for the cause of Christ if we put our speech in the manner that it should be. Because again, what does Ephesians 4 and 29? And think about this. God is not making a suggestion to us. He's telling us what we better do. He says, let no corrupt talk comes out of your mouths. but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the words that I say to somebody, if it's not positive, what it's going to do. I know that. Now, if I don't care, guess what? I'm going to say it. If I don't care what your feelings are all about, I'm going to say it. But is that the way God wants us to behave as a Christian? No. But you know, sometimes we do that to loved ones. We just say what's on our mind. And we don't realize it hurts our loved ones. But now when you get out in public, boy, we got the tongue, we hold everything back, we say the right words. But why do you do it to your loved ones? It ought not to be. We're going to talk about some of the encouraging and edifying words we can speak. Starting off with words of gratitude. There's no better way, no better feeling that we can do to others than to thank them. Now, I've done it, I believe, to some. I haven't done it to all. But just think, within the last week, we had members that came out to this building and cleaned up around it. Now, I'm not saying you got to go with a sign and say, oh, look at what I did. But I think most everybody in here know who did it. But have you thought about thanking them for what they've done? Do you realize how that goes over? And those of us in here that do certain things, and we all know who does whatever, have you thought about thanking them for doing what they do? We come in and we go out. Those of our friends we talk to, think of, we are family. Think about giving to the people for what they do. Now, I know the majority of us don't do anything to get a pat on the back, but it's nice to hear that somebody is noticing. Because if you did something wrong, guess what? Everybody noticed. And everybody got something to say. So when we do good, encourage. Encourage one another to do more if you see that they have that capability. Encourage them. You know, encourage, we got young children that's coming up. As they grow up to understand us, encourage them to do things. That goes a long ways. But if the young children, these little ones, if you don't say anything to them, you don't treat them like they are a human being. Now, when they start getting up, they're going to remember who talks to them, who want to say things to them, who plays with them, who bothers them. They're going to remember that. Let's build a rapport by telling one another how we appreciate them. Paul gives us an example and showing how grateful he was to his brethren. And here's some of the things he said. In 1 Thessalonians 1, and starting with verse 2 and 3, we give thanks to God always for all of you, continually mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father Father, your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. For what is our hope hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Gratitude needs not only be genuinely felt, it needs to be expressed. I'm sure most of us husbands, we don't say to our wives enough how much they mean to us. Wives, if your husband do that, you're very lucky. And you need to point it out what your husband do. And maybe the rest of us can get an idea that we need to do that same thing. But it also goes the opposite way. We are creatures that need one another. And so, let us start telling one another how much we care about it. Words of faith and words of truth. We need to express that to one another. You know, I've heard this. Okay, we find certain scriptures, the left hand don't know what the right hand is doing and so forth and so on. But you know, if you are out there trying to spread the word, and you're having Bible studies, what is wrong with you telling one another what you're doing? So we can pray for you, that you can have the strength, you know the right words to say, and you can show that somebody care about what you're doing. But it's like we're secret. We don't want nobody to know nothing. We're supposed to be a family. And we're supposed to be trying to say, is there anything I can help you do? We shouldn't be secretive. And I believe when we are saying these things, we're not saying it to brag. Oh, look at what I'm doing. Because I believe if that's the case, you know when a person's bragging to see what he's getting. But you know, I say some of the things I do for this reason. Because I've heard people say, well, I just can't do that. You know, I wish I was smart as half of you folks in here. I would be dangerous. Y'all got college educations. You know how to say big words. I wish I had that. But I'm glad I don't, because I'd probably mess up. But I know how to speak to people. I know how to say things to them that they understand what I'm saying, because they know me and the words I use. And you can do that to the people you are around. Because if I can do it, if I can overcome being a total loner. And when I used to tell people, I was silent. I was a person that really wouldn't talk much. But look at me now. Why? God. Because I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to communicate with people. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 3. Now, you can see the point I'm trying to get here, because some of the things that the scripture is saying, we know how it fits. But this is what I want you to get. If I give away all I have, and if I delivered up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never ends. And if we can only get that into our lives, what great folks we would be for the Lord. You know, we should have confidence in our brethren. If we know them, and we trust them, and we know what they're all about, if we hear them or hear a report of them doing something, we should not be quick to say, what's his problem? Because if you know one another, you got to know where we're coming from. And so Paul says here in Romans 15 and 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledgeable and able to instruct one another. Philemon verse 21, confidence of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you do even more than I say. We should give words of hope. Hope in Christ. We're all here, those of us that are here. Why? Because we believe in Christ. We believe in God. And we believe in coming together to sing praises unto God, to hear a word from God. Why? Because we want to get to heaven. And we believe this is what we are supposed to do. But now how many folks this day are not knocking in the door of any building that says church? And I've always wondered why we have so few in the Lord's church. Can we say that, well, if you're old, you better be here because you're about to die? What better place to be? But what about the folks in between, the old people? Where are they? We're the ones that say that I have a hope in Jesus Christ. I have a hope in going to heaven. Because like we were studying today in Revelation class, if God does not consider you blessed by doing what he says you should do, your name will not be in the book of life. And you won't go to heaven. So what better place than to be hearing the words of God to encourage you how to behave and what to do? Because every word that proceeds from the mouth of the individuals up here, if it is scripture, it is true. We may not like what it says, but it's still true. And if we're doing wrong, we better do what's right. Ephesians 1, verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, that are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, when you look at the Bible, you pay attention to what it's saying. It's saying things that will try to get you to heaven. God is not saying anything that is not going to be beneficial to you. So why do we balk against what God says? Why do we say, and hopefully nobody here does this, well, yeah, the Bible says it, but. Because see, that but has already put you in trouble. God said it. I believe it. And that's the end of it. Now, if he tells me I'm supposed to do something and I have not been doing it, that's a wake-up call. Here's what you got to do. You know, God tells each and every one of us, we are to be ready to give an account to people. But how can you do that if you don't know the words of God? From up here is giving us words in which should teach us what to say. Something new to say that we never thought about before. But we have to do that. Because if you want to be faithful to God by taking the word to other people, you need to be listening, writing things down so you can give it to people. And because when that opportunity comes, you have no idea where you're going to be. Nobody's going to be around to help you. You got to know. Study to show yourself approved unto who? Yourself? No, God. Showing to God that you are workmen, His workmen. And you know how to divide the word of truth. First Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know, I sometimes hear people say that, you know, someone told me this, or someone told me that. I wish somebody would tell me some of those things. I truly do. But nobody does. Because I'm ready. And the Bible has given us everything we need to know. If we have paid attention to the Old Testament when we went through, those are words in which we could give to people to show that God loves, but God also kills. Why did He kill? Because they were disobedient. If you're not disobedient, if you're obeying God's word, He's not going to kill you. He can't wait to see you. And so when you're talking to people, you know what they believe and work that in. Show them that what you're doing is not pleasing to God. But here is what is pleasing to God. And you let them know that as long as you are not pleasing to God, your life is in jeopardy. Don't be afraid to tell them that. But first of all, you need to know them. Well, they know you. Now, I don't expect you to go knock on the door and say, you're going to hell. But when you know them, and they know you, you can be frank with them. Because you want to save their soul. You want to give them that hope that you have. We can do much good by building hope in others rather than quenching it. You know, I take the opportunity while I'm at Kiowa to talk to people. And depending on the subject matter, I bring a Bible. And we're talking. Now, I, for the life of me, I wish I could remember who it was that I was talking to. And I told them, they asked me something about my day off. And they said to me, I know you're going to church. Now, somewhere along the line, we talked about church. And I'm going to church. I'm going 2 times. And so when you talk to people, they listen. And then they're going to evaluate whether you are the person you say you are. But take the opportunity. It comes in so many shapes and forms that you can say something about God. Words of love. We can encourage people with words of love. As I said earlier, The need to be loved is deep and is strong. Every last one of us in here wants to be loved. We do. And you know, that lie that I used to tell, I don't care what people think about me. That's a lie. I do. But I know that there's things that I can't control. So I'm not going to lose, well, I won't lose too much sleep on what people think about me. But if I try to always do the right thing, then it shouldn't be that hard. Here's something that always has an effect on me. How in the world can you say or anybody say that you love God and don't love his children? Don't love the world. Don't love what one another in here. Because in 1 John 4 verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That is why I am vocal to people. They may not ever get another shot at hearing the gospel. So when I have an opportunity, I use it. Because, for one, I'm afraid of God. If I don't do what he says, and he finds me unfaithful, guess where I'm going? What do you have to lose? To talk to people. To share with people. To share with one another. 21, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Going into chapter 5 and verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and anyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. The words that we use to express our love, it is going to do so much good that we simply cannot understand it. You know, we have family members in here that is in the hospital, and it's said that, you know, send a card to them to let them know we're thinking about them and all of that. We don't know most of them people from nobody, but we know their loved ones. And if they are half as good as the people that we know, then they got to be pretty good. But also, if they receive a card or a letter or whatever from you, they're going to know you by what you put in the letter. And to know that somebody else cares about me that have never seen me. How difficult is that to do? And are we doing it? You know, if you're sick, if you're not feeling well, how difficult is it to tell people that you're under the sun so they can pray for you? You may not have to go and visit and all of this stuff, but a phone call to see how you're doing. We all appreciate that. And I think it was made mention up here today something about, well, they didn't come to see me. Well, have you went to see anybody else? Have you let folks know that you care about it? One of the things that I'm learning now, trying to be a little proficient, is I got a phone that's smarter than me. And I'm learning how to text. How difficult is it to say, hello? Now, if you're not in their book, you'll wonder who this crazy person says hello. Now, if you're like me and Gary, if a message comes through and you don't know, we write back, who are you? But how difficult is that? To text somebody, we're not busy all 24 hours a day. I found a free program that you can do like a mass test, you know, just put different people in. Say the same thing and send it to everybody. Hello, I'm thinking about you. Hope you have a good day. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel pretty good. Because I received a text from a member, and I said, well, that's pretty nice. See, small things that we can do. So, whatever other abilities we may or may not have, we all can do significant good by using encouraging words to one another. We can do that. It's not difficult. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 25:1, a word fitly spoken is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver, which ain't going to do you much good. Philemon says, for I have deprived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the heart of the saints have been refreshed through you. If you say, well, I've never done that before, I've never said that before, how difficult is it to say to those of us in here, I appreciate you. I see what you're doing. And I want to say thank you. You know, those words go a long ways. Is there anything that I can do for you? You ain't trying to be nosy. You're trying to show that you care about them. And I'm guilty of a lot of things. And I keep telling myself that I need to do this. And sometimes when I say, you know, I haven't done this, I'll go ahead and do it right away, because if I don't, I'm going to forget. How many of us, like I said, I'm guilty, that has been encouraging Randy? We all know what he's going through. How many of us has given him that phone call and said, hey, buddy, what can I do? And we have other members in here that's suffering, whether it's family members. Are we encouraging them? I suggest we start doing it. It ain't going to hurt us. And it's not going to cost us nothing to call them, because now we got all the free minutes in the world. We can talk forever. But if you love the people in this room, let's start right now showing them how much you care about them. Because you want these people in this room to have your back. It's as simple as that. We want one another to get to heaven. And some of us ain't going to get to heaven if we're doing what God say we're supposed to do. That includes me. I hope these words were encouraging to you, because they were God's words. this thing that, excuse me, that God wants us to know. If you have any need of this.